الحمد لله كيف حالك؟ الحمد لله، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه ومصطفى. أما بعد، as a continuation of what we were saying yesterday about the exemplary of the lives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the grand Sahaba, and as we mentioned yesterday, the sequence of the life and how it goes from the time that Allah created jinn first, and after they disobeyed and destroyed and killed, Allah Ta'ala sent the angels to throw them, to chase them to the sea, making the land free for pure creation. And so Allah created Adam, and as you know, as what we said yesterday, greed was seen on Shaitan for what Allah Ta'ala created Adam for, and what his own people failed to fulfill. And the enmity between Shaitan and mankind, as what Allah Ta'ala described, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌّ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. We went on until we reached the time that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, on the year of elephant, where Allah Ta'ala destroyed the army of the elephants of Abraha, who came to destroy the Kaaba. As a consequence of what one of the Arabs did to the church in Sana'a that Abraha built to please An-Najashi, the king of the Christians in Abyssinia, and what the mother of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw when she was pregnant. What did she saw in the dream when she was pregnant? That light come out of her womb and lighted up the palaces in Busra, a village in Sham, where Syria today, and what happened to Halim al-Sa'diyah, the breastfeeder of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and her village, which changed from dry and poor to green, wet and rich village, rich of everything because of the blessing that Allah sent with this little boy Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as a reward for this woman, Halima, who came to Mecca for some business which they used to do, they breastfeed children for some money. But when she came and found that Muhammad is an orphan who had no money, she took him, willing that Allah may bless her for such kind of sadaqah. She did. And that's what exactly happened. Allah Ta'ala blessed her and all of her tribe and village. And what happened to him when Jibreel alayhi salam came and opened his chest, took the heart, cleaned it, where the water came from the heavens and ice as well, and a golden blade that is brought from the Jannah. And he removed the share of shaitan from the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so shaitan cannot lay any desire into his heart sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he's protected. From boyhood, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never had any desire of any wrong. And as I said yesterday, when we say desire, we don't mean the allowed or permissible desire, like enjoying your wife, enjoying perfume, enjoying food which is lawful food. This is a desire, but it's allowed. When we say that the Prophet ﷺ is protected from desire, we mean the unlawful desire. From boyhood, the Prophet ﷺ never had any kind of thing in his mind. It's not because he did not like it only, now because Allah Ta'ala removed the material that he subhanahu wa ta'ala created into the mankind's heart, so it make him like or turn to the desire. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was protected from that. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returned to his mother. Then his mother traveled to Medina. On the way back, she died in a place called Al-Abwa. All these incidents mean something. It is, yani, Allah Ta'ala created this destiny on the history of mankind not for nothing. There is something behind. There is a wisdom behind. It is for us to learn. It is for us to learn. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ ضَالًا أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ. So Allah Ta'ala found the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in these cases, misguided, orphan. So he gave him guidance, he gave him support. And this means, if you be like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he was seeking the truth, he had a lot of patience. He used to go to the mountain of An-Nur, mountain of Thawr, there where Ghar Hira, and climbed. He first of all cut all this distance from Makkah to Ghar Hira, and he climbed the mountain, which is very high. What for? He wants to be alone. Alone, him and his Lord, whom yet he did not know who was he. But he knows that behind this universe, a Lord, a perfect Lord. So he used to go to that place, alone. He never even accompanied his closest friend Abu Bakr, or his wife Khadija, or his cousin Ali, or his daughter Fatima. He never accompanied any, but he used to go alone, fearing nothing but Allah. So at that cave, he used to raise his hand and ask guidance. Oh you, my Lord, guide me to what people miss. This is a signal to all of us. And I ask myself and my brothers and sisters, how much time do we get for the secret worship? How much time do we give for pleasing Allah sincerely? So many people say, how can sincerity be gained? Very simple. Allah Ta'ala through the life of the Prophet ﷺ, showed us how we can gain sincerity. The Prophet ﷺ, before prophethood, he used to go to the cave of Hira and worship Allah there. And here is a benefit that I will convey. The Prophet ﷺ used to go to the cave of Hira before prophethood. After prophethood, he stopped. And when he came to open Mecca on the 8th of Hijrah, he never visited the cave. So it is a signal, because so many people, when they go to Hajj, they prefer to go and see the cave. No, it is not the cave. Your room can be a cave. When the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, he turned his room to be the cave of Hira. He there used to stand when everybody sleep. He used to stand and pray and pray and pray and ask Allah, look, oh Allah, guide me to what people have conflict on, as you are the one who guides to the truth. The messenger of Allah is asking this in the darkness, where nobody is seeing him, nobody is hearing him, but Allah. Do we do that? So as I said, brothers, it is not true that we read the biography of the Prophet ﷺ to enjoy and to see the magnificent and the very humble examples which we don't follow. That is not the thing that Allah Ta'ala wanted from us when He said, لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. You have a good example through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the Messenger of Allah. So the example must be followed. If you don't follow the example, it's an evidence against you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed a lot of sabr. Lot of sabr. And I'm still concentrating on this character. We want to go through the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the biography of Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, the female Sahaba, to see how much sabr. Because Allah Ta'ala indicated sabr in the Quran in many verses. And as I told you yesterday, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً أَوْسَأَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. مَا أُعْطِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً أَوْسَأَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. Nobody is given anything better than sabr. Okay, sabr and what? We all say sabr, sabr, but sabr and what? And everything, everything. As the ulama say, that sabr must be fulfilled and seen in three fields. The field of obedience. So you have to show sabr. You have to show sabr. You come to the masjid, you want to pray, you have to show sabr. You are in hurry, you want the iqamah to be called, the imam is reciting long surah, here you need to show sabr when you are performing the ibadah. Sabr on holding oneself from committing the sins. Very important. Very, very important. And sabr on the destiny of Allah that falls on you, from which you don't like. Perhaps as the destiny, something you like, your hobby. But if it is something you don't like, then the problem comes. As what Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَّبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. Look at this ayah. Look at this. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us that He is going to examine us by shortening, by fear, that He is going to send down to our hearts, by any means, earthquakes, natural disasters, by enemies who are oppressing us. These all Allah Ta'ala permitted. Don't think that it can exist if Allah did not permit it. So why Allah is permitting it to happen to the believers? It's to test them, to examine, are they honest and serious in saying that they have sabr, or they just say it, or they just say words. And He Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala said also, shorten in food so you become hungry. Money, you can boo. Spirit, so you lose your family members. They are either killed or died because of diseases or whatever. What tamara, the fruits. Farmers walk and walk and walk, and then Allah Ta'ala sends some insects, destroy all the fruit. Here you need to have patience. وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ. Look at the end of this ayah. Allah Ta'ala is telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَبَشِّرْ الصَّابِرِينَ. Are you Muhammad? Give the glad tidings to those who are having patience. Who are they? He described them. Allah described them. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those whom whenever a disaster or a problem occurs to them, they immediately respond or face it by saying, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We are all belongs to Allah. We are all belong to Allah. And we, unto Him, we all are going to go back. What does that mean? Allah is not the one who killed the Muslims. It's the kuffar who killed the Muslims. Yes, but it is by permission of Allah. No one, nothing can have any single movement in this world, in this universe, except by the permission of Allah. We have to understand that.
Reno 53.
Reno 53. They need the driver of it. So Allah Ta'ala describing these people. He said that الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. What? The size of that musibah? No matter. A bite from a mosquito. Or greater than that. Every time you need to say, Inna lillahi وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك, see the fruits of صبر, أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم. Don't you want Allah to bless you, Allah to send mercy upon you? Everyone is asking Allah that. Allah is telling us, is showing us the shortest way to reach that. Sabr. عليهم أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. Now, if they say, if we cut your limbs, your hands, your legs, and by that you get to Jannah, would you refuse? I myself, I would not. If it is, yani, if it is proved that if they cut my hands and my legs, I would be entered the Jannah, I'd like that. Because the Jannah is something above our description, our imagination. It's enough to know that you are going to see the face of Allah. It's enough. If this is the only reward, believe me, it's enough. What if it is lesser than that? Only be patient. And we turn all matters to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة. In this life. وأولئك هم المهتدون. And they are the ones whom are going to be guided. Subhanallah. يعني it's an automatic consequence. You be patient, we be patient. Now when we say patient, so many people allow their anger to exist, to come out, and then after all the anger gone, they say, okay, I'm patient. Now this is not the patient. This is not the patience that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. And the hadith, if you remember, when the Prophet ﷺ passed by a grave where a woman was crying for her baby who was buried in that grave, he said to her, be patient. She said, go away. She did not know him. Go away. You did not suffer of the same problem of mine. The Prophet ﷺ kept quiet and left her and go. He did not stop and make a problem like so many advisors today do. You either take my advice or I'll bunch you. No, that's another way. This is not the way. You either take my advice or you are my enemy. No, this is not the way. This is not the way. So the Prophet ﷺ said the advice to the woman and left. When she rejected, he left her. So the companions came to her and said, and see the sabr of the Prophet ﷺ. You are with me? See the sabr? Now imagine the Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah. He is the leader of the committee there in Medina. Although that, this woman is telling him, go away. So he was patient. The Prophet ﷺ was patient. Now when I bring this hadith, I don't want you only to concentrate on the reaction of the woman who wasn't patient, but take the advantage of the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ was patient. It is not something simple, akhi. Don't say, oh, it is something simple. No. And you know, every one of us, everyone, and I can swear that every one of us here in this masjid had a case like that, where you give an advice and they reject it and then you become angry. Every one of us. Show me the most calm one and I challenge that he has something like that in his life. Why? Because honestly, we are not as perfect as the Prophet ﷺ, that's true. But on the other hand, we are not following him perfectly. We don't say that we must be like the Prophet ﷺ. It's impossible. But we need to imitate the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم blindly. You don't discuss it. You have to. If you want to reach the Jannah. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم held his anger and left. People came to the woman and said, that was Rasulullah. She said, oh, I didn't know him. And ran after him. Came to his house. Found no any garden. So she entered. Immediately she said, ya Rasulullah, I'm sorry, I'll be patient. I did not recognize you. He said, not now. The patient that you are rewarded for is the patient at the beginning of the problem. Once you hear the news that your son died, once you hear the news that the enemies did this, there you hold. Why? Why the Prophet said, why Allah Ta'ala is telling us to be upon big patience? Why? It is because when you are patient, you can think. Even in the war, Allah Ta'ala commanded the mujahideen to be patient. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Look at these advices. اصْبِرُوا, okay, we know that it's a command to be patient. Okay, what is صَابِرُوا? Why it is repeated? اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا. صَابِرُوا is to make your enemy patient. Don't make him lose his patience. See? It's not only you to be impatient. No. Work on making your enemy on patience. So why? You get some time to think. Maybe you find a solution. No need to have any drop of blood. Warabitu, meaning stay on the borders, defending it, but don't start. Ribab doesn't mean jihad. Ribab means to be ready there on the borders, but don't start it. And then Allah Ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. And all what you do, fear Allah. So patience in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clearly seen. We can get a lot until tomorrow morning. We can continue bringing examples of the patience of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In all, in difficult times and in ease times. Allah Ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now. You know, we here in this ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 214, where we just recited, Allah Ta'ala, it was Al-Baqarah 155. Allah Ta'ala, and by the way, the brothers, an advice, just an advice. Try not to be only listeners. We learn from the shuyukh that we write down. Try to bring your notebook and write. Because today you may remember it, but tomorrow, day after, you will forget. And then you will need it. As it is said by some of the ulama, they said, Al-ilmu saydun wal-kitabatu qayduhu. Qayyid صيودك بالوثوق بالرباط الواثقة بالقيود الواثقة فمن الجهالة أن تصيد غزالة ثم تدعى بين الخلائق طالقة. They say that علم is like the hunted animal, and writing it is like the rope that you tie the hunted animal with. And then they said, it is not logic that you go hunting, you hunt a gazelle, and then you leave it untied and go for another one, because this one will run away. So ilm is like that. And if you don't mind, if I ask you of what Sheikh Salim Al-Tawil said last week, maybe many of you cannot remember exactly what he said. So at least you write down the notes. At least the ayat. Maybe the speaker is wrong. You know? I say that because maybe I'm wrong. So when you write down, you can know. As just now I said, ayat 214, and no one corrected me. So anyway, I wish when you see students of knowledge or ulama, whom we are, I'm not from them. I'm a regular person. But I convey this advice to you. When you sit to tulab al-ilm or the ulama, always try to bring a notebook with you. Imam Ibn Qayyim, and this is part of the sabr, ya akhwan. My words are very heavy. It's like strike. But I'm sorry for that, it's only for your benefit. Ibn Qayyim has a book called Al-Fawaid. What is that? He used to have free reading. And when he reads any book or reads any article, he writes the benefit down. Later on, he gathered them all and became a book. Now, we read this book and see the very valuable benefits in it. So if we exercise to write down, I don't know, now the people say that the Muslims do not read, do not write. You see that the kuffar, everyone on the train, everywhere, holding a book and reading. Maybe unbeneficial book, but they like reading. Muslims, Amur, need to read and write. You know, the first ayah came to the Prophet ﷺ, what was it? Iqra. Iqra. So we need to read. And we need to write. We need to write. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ was told by Allah, as in Surah Al-Rum, ayah 60. فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. See the command from Allah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَاصْبِرْ. Allah commanded the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to be patient. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Verily the promise of Allah is true. What is the promise of Allah? What is the promise of Allah to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? In the battle of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ stood raising his hand high and supplicating. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq saw the Prophet ﷺ standing for long. So he came saying, Ya Rasulullah, Allah Ta'ala will fulfill the promise He gave you. So you don't need to stand so long. But the Prophet ﷺ didn't stop. So the promise of Allah is true. What is it? When the battle is finished, the Prophet ﷺ came to the well where 70 of Quraysh were buried in or thrown in. He came to them and said, يا أهل القديم هل وجدتم ما وعد ربكم حقا فإني وجدت ما وعدني ربي حقا. He talked to death bodies and Umar said, يا رسول الله, they don't hear you. He said, they hear me more than you, but they cannot speak. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was telling them, did you find the promise of Allah truth now? As I found it truth. What it is that Allah Ta'ala told him, if you be patient, you will win. And they won. The Muslims won in Badr. So, فَاصْبِرْ إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَلَا يَسْتَخِفَّنَّكَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. And don't make those who do not believe to make you so quick in making decisions. Don't make them affect on you so you become a very quick decision maker. Because when you make a quick decision, you do not think about what you decide, you may do wrong. So patience in the life of the Prophet ﷺ is clearly seen. Not only in the difficult times, as we said, in Mecca, for example. We yesterday discussed this part of his life. In Mecca, he used to pass by the family of Yasir, Ali Yasir. Yasir, the mother of Yasir, Sumayya, the father of Yasir, or Yasir himself, and the son Ammar, and the mother of Ammar, Sumayya. They were crucified and beaten by the kuffar. He did not say anything. He didn't even make dua against those who touched them. He just said to them, "Sabran ala Yasir, inna mu'idakum al-jannah." Be patient, O family of Yasir. The date or the time or the meeting is going to be in the Jannah. So it means that the end of sabr is Jannah. And that's what happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. We all know how Yusuf was patient. When his brothers put him in the well, when the people, the caravan who passed by, took him and sold him, when he was in the palace of the Aziz of Nasr, and he was treated wrongly by the wife of the Aziz, when the Aziz put him in the jail, all this, Yusuf alayhi salam was patient. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. Patience in life of the prophets and messengers is something very, very important and seen. Ismail, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail. When Ibrahim saw in the dream, and we all know that the dreams of the believer of the prophets is part of the revelation, part of the prophethood. He saw that he is slaughtering his son, Ismail. He came to him and said, "Yeah, Ismail, I've seen in the dream that I slaughter you." He said, "Yeah, father, okay. Whatever Allah commanded you to do. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You will find me patient. You will find me on big patience. From those who are having patience." So patience is very important. And wallah, the people today do not need anything other than patience. But yet, most of the people look to those who advise them of patience as kind of model. What are you talking about? Patience, patience. Patience is the advice of Allah to the prophets, all prophets, and to all believers. In Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 10, Allah Ta'ala said, "Qul ya ibadiya alladhina amanu, ittaqoo rabbakum." Say, O Muhammad, O you people who believe, fear your Lord. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. For those who do good in this life, there is حَسَنًا, good reward. وَأَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعًا. And the land of Allah is wide, massive. It means, if you are brother in this land, leave it and go to the other land. Look, Ibrahim left it. Ibrahim left his land. Musa left his land. Muhammad left his land. All the prophets. Nuh alayhi salam left his land. All the prophets. Almost all. And then Allah Ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Verily, those who are abominations are going to be given their reward with no count. It's not counted. Every other worship, the reward is counted. For Salah, you have this much reward. For Hajj, you have this much reward. For sadaq, you have this much reward. For salat al-rahim, this much reward. But for siyam, fasting, and sabr, patience. No limit for the reward. No limit. So sabr in the life of the Prophet ﷺ is clearly seen. When he moved to Medina, and the Yahud started playing games around, one of the Yahud climbed the roof of one of the houses in Medina, and the Prophet ﷺ was walking beside, so he wanted to throw a big stone on the Prophet ﷺ. But Allah Ta'ala protected the Prophet ﷺ, so he did not go from that room. Another woman put poison in the sheep, and she invited him to eat. But he was patient. He was patient. Although Allah Ta'ala made him to know, the arm of the sheep spoke to the Prophet ﷺ that it has poison in it. So the Prophet ﷺ took the piece of meat out of his mouth and threw it. The scholar said that some of the poison entered his body. So it affected. When he died, he ﷺ said, I died because of that poison. And that's why some of the ulama said that the Prophet ﷺ is shaheed, is martyr. But he did not take that woman for what she did. Except when one of the Sahaba ate and died. So the Prophet ﷺ considered that it's a crime. So the woman was killed for that. But not for poisoning the Prophet ﷺ. While he was patient, you know. When Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a radiallahu anhu, Sahabi, before the battle of Badr, he sent a letter to the Kuffar of Quraysh, warning them that the Prophet ﷺ is preparing this. Now that wasn't before the battle of Badr, that was before Fath Makkah. So Allah Ta'ala made the Prophet ﷺ to know. The Prophet ﷺ sent Ali ibn Abi Talib and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and they brought the woman. He said to them, you will find her in a place called Nakhla. That's what Allah Ta'ala told him. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't know the ghaib. Allah told him that they, if they move now, they can catch her in Nakhla. So they went to Nakhla and they caught the woman there. She was hiding the letter in her hair. When they came with the letter to the Prophet ﷺ, he brought Hatib and he asked him, why you did that? Hatib explained. He said, Ya Rasulullah, every one of you have family in Makkah. I don't have to defend my wife and my children. So I wanted only to have something good between me and Quraysh so they don't harm my family. Ali said, Ya Rasulullah, let me break his neck, he's munafiq. Rasulullah said, No. Don't you know that Allah Ta'ala said, all you people of Badr who attended Badr, do whatever you want, I've forgiven you. So the Prophet ﷺ was patient. If you or I was in that position, we may kill Hatib. You are acting as a spy for the kuffar, but the Prophet ﷺ was patient. In his house, when Aisha radiallahu anha said to him, what do you still remember from that old woman, Khadija? He wasn't angry, he was patient. He said, she was and she was. And there was a boy, a child from her. And there were children from her. So he held his anger. If a woman, if a wife of one of us says so, maybe it would be a big problem. Another incident at the house of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Maria sent a plate of honey to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the day of Aisha, Aisha was very angry. Maria or Umm Salam, I forgot. So she threw the plate and the plate broke. The Prophet ﷺ looked at her and said, your mother become jealous. Very quietly like that. And then he looked at Aisha and said, Aisha, blade for a blade. You bring a blade from the kitchen and give her. That's it, finished. Isn't it big patience? Who can do that? Another time, Safiya radiallahu anha came to the Prophet ﷺ complaining. Your wives are saying that they are from the Arab tribes and their fathers did the marriage contract with the Prophet ﷺ, but me, I'm only a Jew woman. He said to Safiya, go back to them and tell them that my father is a prophet and my uncle is a prophet. Who of you, her father or her uncle is a prophet? So like that, you know, see how simple the Prophet ﷺ is acting, the sabr. You need the sabr in everything, not only in the major things. In everything, in daily life, you need sabr. Another incident. A man came up after the battle of Hunayn. When the Prophet ﷺ was distributing the captive of Hunayn, the man came and said, Ya Muhammad, اعدل, be fair, be just. The Prophet ﷺ looked at him and said, who can be fair if the Messenger of Allah is not fair? Umar radiallahu anhu immediately stood and said, Ya Rasulullah, allow me to break his neck. He's a bukr. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. I don't want the people to say or talk that Muhammad is killing his companions. He did not say to Umar, oh, don't say that he's a bukr. He's a believer. Didn't say that. Because no one can curse the Prophet ﷺ this way except a hypocrite. Or a kafir. Clear kafir. Or somebody is claiming that he's Muslim, but he's not. He's not. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told Umar, no, don't kill him. He did not say, don't say that he's munafiq. He said, don't kill him. Why? Patience. If this happened to one of us today, he might do a lot of things. He might do a lot of things. But the Prophet ﷺ held his anger. والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين. So this is the example of the Prophet ﷺ. We can have a lot of things, not only sabr, a lot of things that we can go through. When we talk about the biography of the Prophet ﷺ. And wallahi, if we just study the biography of the Prophet ﷺ, it is more than enough to study in other ilm. Why? Because you're going to go through, for example, we were talking about night prayers. Aisha radiallahu anha one day saw the Prophet ﷺ praying all night. And as Ibn Mas'ud said that he joined the prayer, night prayer with the Prophet ﷺ, when he started Surah Al-Baqarah. And he said, I said that he might end by ayah number 100. Akhi, If our imam recites in Taraweeh 100 ayah in the whole salah, not in one rak'ah, in the whole salah, I'm sure that nobody will pray here. I don't know about you guys in the UK, but in Saudi, we know that. People just leave. And you can come to Saudi and see that are most that the imam and the muaddin only doing the Taraweeh or Tahajjud. Why? Because they recite maybe 15, 20, 30 ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, perhaps long ayat. But the Prophet ﷺ started Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat 100, he passed, continued. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, oh, maybe he stopped by ayat 200. The Prophet ﷺ continued after ayat 200. Ibn Mas'ud said, maybe at the end of Al-Baqarah. The Prophet ﷺ finished Al-Baqarah, still in one rak'ah. And he started ayat Surah Al-Imran, An-Nisa. He started An-Nisa. Then he said, maybe in the middle of it, alaykum as-salam. The Prophet ﷺ continued, finished it. Ibn Mas'ud said, now, the Prophet ﷺ started reciting Al-Imran until he finished it all. In one rak'ah, one rak'ah. So Aisha one day said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, you pray all this long time, long prayer while Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you, khalas. As what Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Fath. مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ دَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. The previous sins and what is coming in the future. What are the sins of the Prophet ﷺ before this ayah descended? No one can say this is a sin. Allah knows, but to us, we cannot show one single sin for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You cannot show me any single sin. So Allah Ta'ala forgive, but he continued to pray long prayers. What did he reply, Aisha? He said, don't I be a slave who thank Allah for this? SubhanAllah. What patience is that? Actually now, when we do turaqah in the morning, we may not pray any time else. Say, khalas, today I'm the hero. I'm the imam of my time. I've done turaqah. Yeah, it's like that, believe me. We are so weak that shaitan, not the big shaitan, the baby shaitans, can, you know, play around us. Why? Because we are not having sabr in the field of ilm. We are not having sabr in ibadah. We are not having sabr in holding ourselves from the fitna. Now, for example, you are living here. The fitna is everywhere. Everywhere. Everyone, don't say anything about yourself, but think of it. How many times you hold yourself from the fitna? How many times? Akhi, it is something difficult. So you need to ask Allah to give you sabr. And sabr is something very, very important. Sabr in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, as I said, it is one character of the Prophet ﷺ. We can go through all the life of the Prophet ﷺ, but we need ages. I just chosen sabr to be our subject in these days. And we show examples from the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, the female Sahaba, just to show that we all are in need today. I don't say to one thing only, but to one thing mainly. Which is sabr. Sabr. Is time? Okay. How much time left? 10 minutes. Okay, yesterday we said we'll leave some time for questions. So if you have questions, and questions must be written. No discussion in the masjid. So sabr, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ is as I showed you. And there are a lot of examples. It doesn't mean that that's it. There are a lot of examples. In the life of the Sahaba. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, for example. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is one of the important men in Makkah before Islam. But when he became Muslim, people started mocking him, bothering him, until they said that you cannot worship your Lord here in Mecca. If you want to go out of Mecca, he was leaving Mecca, he was going out, when a man called Ibn al-Daghinna from the Ahbash, the Abbasians, who they used to have a village, they came from Bethnia and they settled in a place there, south Mecca. So he was the sheriff of them. Ibn al-Daghinna was the sheriff of the Abbasians. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and he said to, where Ibn Abi Quhafa? Where are you going to? He said, I'm going to anywhere to worship my Lord, because my people do not want me to worship my Lord. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq could say, I'm from Tamim, nobody can stop me. Tribe of Tamim, come, let's now start fighting. Who wants to stop me? Like a character of, and a number of people, of Muslims who are living today. They may fight each other, not only with the kuffar, even each other, for very small things, you know. They give no space for sabr. No space for sabr. Ibn al-Daghinna said to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, no, a man like you should not leave his town. You come back and I will be responsible. So when he came to Mecca, Ibn al-Daghinna called everyone and said, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is defended by me. So no one should bother him. The people of Mecca said to Ibn al-Daghinna, because they fear him, because Ibn al-Daghinna and his people were very strong and tough. So they said, okay, listen, if you want to give him some shelter or defense, then you have to tell him not to pray loudly, as he attracts our women and children when he does that. So Ibn al-Daghinna came to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and told him that. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq said, no, I cannot pray silently. If you want to defend me, otherwise you are free, and I will face whatever happens. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq are patient. When the Prophet ﷺ was migrating, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq accompanied him, as you all know. So where is the patient in there? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq left his family, his father, Uthman, his mother, his wife, his children, and he took money. His father, there was an opening in the wall that they used as a safe. So they used to put the money in a bag and put it in that hole. Uthman, Nabi Quhafa, the father of Abu Bakr, put his hand inside there and checked the bag, and is there. And he said, oh, I thought that Abdullah has taken the money with it. Abdullah, which is Abu Bakr, has taken the money already, and he put some stones there. Why? Because he said that the Prophet ﷺ is more important than my family. And he left with the Prophet ﷺ. Very difficult journey. Very dangerous journey. But he went with the Prophet ﷺ. Very patient. Very, very patient. This reflected on Abu Bakr as-Siddiq in patience and fulfilling the worship. One day, the Prophet ﷺ came out to the Sahaba. After Fajr, he used to sit to the Sahaba and yani, ask them if anybody saw a dream, so he can explain or like that. Or sometimes give them a talk. So one day after Fajr he said, who amongst you is fasting today? Abu Bakr Siddiq said, me. Then he said, who amongst you gave sadaqah today? Abu Bakr Siddiq said, me. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked, who amongst you helped a needy today? Abu Bakr Siddiq said, me. The Prophet ﷺ said, who of you prayed janazah today? Abu Bakr Siddiq said, me. The Prophet ﷺ said, who of you followed the janazah until it was buried? Abu Bakr Siddiq said, me. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, one of you, if does these five things in a day, Allah Ta'ala will give him the choice to get into the Jannah from any of its eight gates. See, how much patience Abu Bakr Siddiq had, yani, fasting. It's not in Ramadan. Otherwise, everybody would say, me. But Abu Bakr Siddiq voluntarily fasting. And he helped a needy. There was a kind of challenging or racing in doing good between Abu Bakr and Umar. Abu Bakr Siddiq, there was an old woman, paralyzed woman in Medina, has no relatives to serve. So Umar ibn Khattab used to go right after Fajr to her house to clean the house and to melt the sheep and make her breakfast. But every time he comes, he finds everything done. Umar was shocked. He said, excuse me, who's doing that for you? She says, a man whom I didn't know used to come here. Then Umar said, I will go before Fajr today and I will see who's this man. So he came before Fajr. But he found Abu Bakr leaving the house already. Leaving the house, he's done everything and leaving the house. He said, Abu Bakr, I would never challenge you. I would never challenge you. Why? Because, subhanAllah, see, when a man leaves his house that early before Fajr, to do all these things for a woman who has nobody in Medina, this is a lot of sabr, ikhwan. Lot of sabr. One of us may say, oh, I will sleep tomorrow, I have work. But Abu Bakr Siddiq didn't say that. And that's why, one day when he was the Khalifa, he said that the female grandmothers, or the grandmothers, the grandmothers are not included in the inheritance. Now he's the Khalifa, and he is giving the command. He said that the grandmother is not included. A woman stood and said, Abu Bakr, how come you prevent us something that the Messenger of Allah gave us? He said, how? See the basis now. Look at the basis now. He did not say, shut up. You do not correct me. I'm the Khalifa. I'm the closest companion of the Prophet ﷺ. No, he was patient. And he said, okay, what is that? Then she said, in day so and so, the Prophet ﷺ said so and so. And the witnesses are Mr. so and so. So the witnesses said, okay, I'll come back. To what the Prophet ﷺ said. SubhanAllah. Who has this patience? They said, don't say, oh, this is symbol. No, we are talking about the Khalifa. We're not talking about you and I, regular persons. Although, I still say that if it happens to people like you and I, will it still make a problem for me? Minimum, oh, she had made me seem stupid in front of the people. From now on, I'll tell her. Minimum. Isn't it? But Abu Bakr Siddiq, who studied with the Prophet ﷺ and got the lesson of sabr from him, had this kind of attitude that time. Where many people can lose their control and lose sabr and accuse the woman. But Isa radiallahu anhu held his anger. Umar ibn Khattab. And we talk about Umar ibn Khattab because Umar lived longer than Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. So many incidents occurred at his time. And you can see patience there. And you can see patience. One example. Al-Hur ibn Qais, Umar ibn Khattab used to have shura majlis. And it is selected from yani, the ulama and people of knowledge. One of them was Al-Hur ibn Qais. Al-Hur ibn Qais had a cousin who is Bedou. He is living in the desert. And as the Prophet ﷺ said that the people who are living in the desert with camels are very rough. So the cousin of Al-Hur ibn Qais came to Al-Hur ibn Qais and said, "You have yani, good relation with Umar the Khalifa. But if you take me to him, I have yani, something to ask him." He said, "Okay, you come on this day." So he let him enter to Umar, to where Umar is. When he came, he started accusing Umar. "Oh, Umar, you did so, you did so, you did so, you did so, you did so." And these were all false. Umar would not get angry if these are true. So Umar was very angry. Hur ibn Qais said that Umar was about to kill him. Then Al-Hur ibn Qais said, "Ya Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, as in the ayah of Surah Al-Imran, ayah 137, Allah Ta'ala said, 'Wal-Kadhimeen al-Ghayr,' those who hold their anger." Umar said, "Okay, I control my anger." Then he said, "Wal-Afina al-Nas," said, "Okay, I forgive him, khalas, finished. Okay, if we come to this limit, we are winners." But look, then Al-Hur ibn Qais said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Wallahu yuhibbu al-Muhsineen." Then Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Okay, I command the man who is responsible of the sale to give him money." Subhanallah, who can do that? If he has no sabr, he cannot do that. Immediately he would break his neck. But Umar radiallahu anhu had a lot of sabr. Lot of sabr. So we need to have such kind of sabr. We need to have sabr. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu had a lot of sabr. He spent a lot of his money for the sake of Allah. Lot of his money. And when he was the Khalifa and the Khawarij came to kill him, he showed a lot of sabr. Lot of sabr. Khawarij are outside. He did not command the Sahaba to kill them. Why? He wanted to save the blood of Muslims. And then he told the Khawarij, "You all know that I am the one whom the Prophet ﷺ led him to marry two of his daughters. I am the one whom the Prophet ﷺ said, 'Ma barra Uthman ma fa'ala ba'd al-yawm.' Whatever Uthman does after today, it would not harm him. I am the one who gave a lot of money for the sake of Allah. I am the one who collected the Quran. I am the one. And then he left them, returned back to his chair, held Quran, and continued to read Quran. And he used, from the big patient Uthman used to have, he used to recite Quran every night, the whole Quran. The whole Quran. He was the Khalifa, akhi. Don't tell me he was free. He was the Khalifa. And it wasn't in a settled government. Look, Khawarij are, you know, look what the Khawarij is doing. And at the time of Uthman, the army of the Muslims was fighting here and there. So it wasn't a quiet government. But he was spending all night praying and reciting Quran. Every night he finished Quran. And then he was fasting on that day. So when the Khawarij came and climbed the house of Uthman and put the chest, put the sword on his chest, he didn't shout, he didn't say anything. He was patient. Why? Because he knows this ayah. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرًا بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Those people, أخي, are looking for آخرة. They are not looking for dunya. They are looking for آخرة. If this will take me to Jannah, no problem. Umar ibn Khattab used to say, Ya Allah, make me to live in the city of the Prophet and give me shahada. His daughter Hafsa used to say, Amir al-Mu'mineen, how come that be? You are in the capital of the country of Islam. How come you get shahada in here? You want shahada, you go to the field of battle there. But staying in here, she did not realize. One day, he was killed. And he was killed by a Majus. So sabr is very, very important. And inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala sahbihi. Is it salafu al-tam for salam? Wallahi, the questions after salah, I'm afraid that it extends. Except if we say 15 minutes. Okay, khalas.